No, no, no. I don't need to burp. I'm fine.
Do you want me to do? What do you mean?
No, you don't. You don't need to. You don't need to. You don't need to treat me like I'm a toddler. All right. So, hey. Welcome to your weekly Corner Späti. We don't know if this is yet the bonus or not. We will decide this after we are done recording.
Yes.
And
keeps us on our toes, you know.
I think that before we go into the, you know, the main episode or like the main topics at hand, a little bit of local flair, I think, is needed. Where I completely forgot that this happened yesterday. My I saw the poster for it once.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then it left my memory after I just was like, before I get really involved with this, I'm just going to block everyone who's involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to block Jungle World. I'm going to block all the panelists.
Spalding, whatever.
Spalding. Yeah. And boy, howdy, dude. I really, not regret doing that because.
I know.
But yeah, the location is very funny that it is about blank. That when I saw it immediately, it was like, of course, if any place in the world were to do such a careless event that then it's just going to cause nothing but uproar, then yeah, who else than about blank? The like,
they're such cowards though, because it was not on their socials that it was there. So
it wasn't?
No. So all the panelists obviously posted about it. Then, what's it called? Jungle World,
but, yeah.
Yeah, they are the ones who posted it. And then you went into their Instagram account, and the About Blank Instagram account, and it was nowhere to be seen because they knew that, you know, everyone hates it. And I actually saw that it looked like there were more people protesting it than people going inside. To the event.
Yeah, it was quite something seeing the fact that one, that there was a lot of people protesting outside of it, and then two, allegedly, according to I believe it was Nathaniel Flanken who reported this, that they didn't allow certain like Jewish attendees to come in.
Yeah.
Because of fear of,
because
like,
they're the wrong kind of Jews, basically.
Because like fear of them like causing a problem.
Yeah. So they have like no Jews, like Jewish panelists.
Mm-mm.
I think they had one, sorry, because obviously
they added one at the last minute. Yeah. It was like a weird VC guy.
Yeah, exactly. So they added one at the last minute. So only one Jewish panelist in a panel about anti-Semitism.
Yeah, who was an afterthought? And, like,
yeah, exactly.
After they got in trouble.
Exactly. And then they don't even let Jewish people into the event. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I felt that we just had to mention it because it was so just on the nose, perfectly just German and all this. Just the fact of that, then of course there's just going to be this like, you know, just completely tone deaf anti-Deutsch like thing of like, duh, well, how do we make this about us? And how do I, you know, I mean, just the fact that it was that comedian and the like, and the anti-Semitism expert from the, from that one Stiftung.
What's his name? Nick Potter.
Yeah.
Imagine Potter. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's very fitting that it was just like the crew of people that it was. And of course, Jungle World was sponsoring it. It was like, it was too many things coming together. It seemed like an op a bit. Like,
just a grifter, like, basically.
Like, I mean, what, like, it was too on the nose for all these kind of groups.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. It happened, I guess. They had like, I guess, problems with like protesters and whatnot. I saw that, like, the police were called and whatnot, so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they were protesting on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
And if you know that street, it's a white street as well. So there was no,
it's like an industrial area.
Yeah, yeah, there's like absolutely nothing. And it's a two-way street, so it's pretty wide. Cars are going through all the time. So there was no way that it was going to get violent or anything. And then you see the police just, and you could see also the organizers of the protest, you know, just keeping the people in a space. And then the police was called.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was very, I don't know. I think it was all very like expected, just kind of this reaction to happen. I mean, I saw like there was a very stupid take that I saw from like, what is it? Like Berlin is over or whatever, that like meme page or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That it was like, oh, like this is just like there so like we can like react to it or whatever. And like they want you to like, you know, disrupt it. I'm like, whatever. Like, just it's stupid. Like, I think it's perfectly fine if people want to go protest a very clearly stupid event.
That's just 100%.
Like, and I mean, the thing that then is just so annoying with the types of people that then that, you know, the I don't know that comedian and that anti-Semitism expert is that their whole shtick is the thing of like I'm somehow on the political left in some regard. I guess less so the comedian. He's just like a weird lib. But like the Potter guy pretends that he's like on the left or whatever. But all he does is ever just complain about the like every article he writes is like, oh, the anti-Semitism problem in the left. While like, you know, the data is right in front of you of where the problem is in Germany. Yeah. When it comes to anti-Semitism.
To be honest, I thankfully don't really know who he is.
That's good, yeah. So I don't know. It's just very suspicious of a guy who only complains about anti-Semitism from this one group that then he says he's apparently supposed to be in. And then, you know, just, you know, quite, I don't know. You know, opportunistically, let's just say it.
Oh, uses that 100%. To
you know, front up a career in a country where that type of bullshit works pretty well. 100%. Because you're just playing to the right. Like that's just a right. Like that's just a right wing talking point. And no one loves a person who's like, I'm a leftist who gets it better than right wingers, because they can always point to you and be like, oh, see, like this person gets it. They are like this kooky, weird.
You know,
the left has this problem, this big anti-Semitism problem. We don't have it, even though like, you know, there are like active party members who like glorify, you know, the German Reich and whatnot and like the CDU and whatnot, but forget that. So I don't know, very suspicious all of it, how that just BS just like kind of still, you know, exists in the realm that it does, like quite I don't know, quite I mean, especially in the sense with the backdrop of like the Palestine Congress or Palestina Congress being like continuously threatened by cancellation, in Yiddishe Stimme, the organization who then is organizing that event, having the problems that they've had with, you know, Sparkasse, you know,
closing their bank accounts.
Closing their bank accounts and whatnot, that this type of organization, like this type of event then is actually having problems of being able to, you know, happen. One that then I guarantee, unless like a bunch of like angry, freaky, weird Zionists are going to come and like cause problems, you know, like can go without like, you know, doesn't have to like end up with this big, you know, like spectacle of, you know, oh, the sick, you know, like they're letting, you know, this is like a panel for anti-Semitism or for extremism or for this and whatever bullshit the German state wants to do. It's like they could just have a realistic conversation about it instead. But then that has problems. And like one that then literally is just going to like troll everyone because they know how dumb it is. It's like perfectly allowed to, you know, like knowing that then that they're going to be expecting a lot of protests, knowing that they're going to be expecting a lot of backlash from a lot of Jewish people, especially, they let that one fucking go on because, well, you know, of course it goes perfectly in line with German, like, Staatsräson. Yeah. It's so fucking aggravating.
It's really upsetting that this is what works in Germany. And what you were saying with Nick Potter or even now the comedian and other journalists as well, that's, like, they're getting such a voice. And they're getting so many articles everywhere. And, you know, the fucking comedian was invited to the Bundestag. Like, what are you on about? And it's
yeah,
it's
a guy really, who just like every other video of his. Now that I've had to like deep dive into him, I really was happy when I didn't know who he was. I'm glad that he was just like a faint, distant memory of like 8 years ago. Someone showed me a stupid Instagram video, and I was like, huh. You know, and then that was that, and then you know I found out he had a few more of those, and I was like, huh, those other ones are also kind of funny, and then I was like, okay, there's like too many of these now, like the
it got worn out very quick.
Then I was reminded recently after we talked about Ozempic or whatever. I then had to go down and find out that he's just a weird Zionist poster. Yeah, I love the fact that then that his only defense for why he like defends Jews is because he just wants,
he wants to fuck Israeli.
So many Israeli dudes. Yeah. This is just like, bro, like, I mean,
it's does
anyone need to spell it out for you, dog? Like, fetishizing people falls under a certain category, but whatever. Like, it's also just like, I don't know. At what point will you go and try to like, they know what they're doing, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's not even that it's like, oh, like, I don't know, that it's like even like disingenuous. I think it is then like they legitimately are just like invested in this politic, like genuinely at this point, you know? Like, I don't think that it's a grift anymore.
No, we talked about this with Kieran in this week's, well, last week's episode from when you're listening to this. It seems like it started maybe as a grift or like as a, oh, look, I can get views from this or whatever. Yeah. And now it's fully like they are ride or die with this, you know, they will never stop making, even if the views start going down or whatever, I don't think they will.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a comedian, they will give it up, you know, because...
I just remember seeing a video of his recently that ended in the weirdest way where it was like, I'm on my way to some film festival or whatever where I'm going to meet a producer and I'm going to get my own like TV series because I have a genius IQ or something.
What a weirdo. I'm not even sure he says that sarcastically.
No, it was like it wasn't. It was the most absurd thing I've ever heard come out of anyone's mouth.
It was like
genuinely like coming out of someone's mouth. So good that they're making a name for themselves. Banking on a genocide that rocks.
Yep.
Anyway, In other news, I guess this is technically no longer the European Union, but it is Europe.
No, but it's happening in Europe. And so today, on the day of the recording, which is April 5th, it's been 5 years since Assange has been in Belmarsh, obviously without a trial, high security prison. Apparently, his health is like declining a lot.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Or that's what Stella Assange says.
A lot of people have said it. I know that then I, when I spoke to Yanis Varoufakis, like the first time I met him,
mm-hmm.
I remember that then someone asked about that. And that was years ago. That was like, must have been 3 years ago or so. And he was giving like an update about because he had just come from seeing
Belmarsh.
I guess that he had just like come, he was in contact with his lawyer or something like that or whatever. So he was giving an update on that and he was like, oh yeah, he's doing like very bad, this and that and that. Like he wasn't doing well in the Ecuadorian embassy.
I mean, you know, I bet. Jesus.
Like, he's pretty much been like, I think he was in like, was pretty much in like solitary confinement for a good portion of his time in Belmarsh. Like it was incredibly brutal, which is something that this prison has been notorious for.
It's a horrible, horrible place. High security, you don't even know what's going on there, kind of place. So yeah, today is the anniversary, fifth anniversary of him being there. But what happened last week? Last week. So last year, Priti Patel, 2022, Priti Patel, who was the Home Secretary at the time, she signed an extradition order for him to be sent and tried in the U.S. Obviously, that would be very, very bad because they're charging him with, like, treason, terrorism, and, like, really, really bad things that will put him away forever if they don't give him straight up the death sentence, depending on where he's tried. Obviously, that started quite a few extradition appeals. He obviously doesn't want to be extradited.
Yeah.
So the third and last one was submitted, I believe, like about a year ago. And the judges were supposed to give their ruling last week. However, it's being, you know, drawn out once more. Why? Because the lawyers, his lawyers, Assange's lawyers, gave 9 reasons or points, whatever, why he should not be extradited, including that, you know, that they're prosecuting him as a political move, that they will kill him either by assassination and, you know, he will mysteriously die in prison or get a death sentence. So they actually denied 6 of those points, the high court. These 2 senior judges, I obviously forgot the names, but whatever. And they accepted 3 of them. So one of those is that the U.S. has to provide, or the lawyers of the U.S., whatever, have to provide proof by the 16th of April that they will not kill Assange if he's sent to the U.S. Obviously, that means jack shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They will just be like, yeah, trust me, bro.
The U.S. is definitely the definition of don't, bro, just trust me.
Right, exactly. Like, that is just the stupidest thing. Everyone's saying it. Stella Sanchez saying it. All the lawyers, like, fucking, what's it, like, Amnesty International. They're all like, dude, this means nothing. Whatever the U.S. tells you means absolutely nothing. He will appear, you know, he will kill himself in his cell or something, you know, like, and
so, never happened in the United States ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the thing. Now they have until the 16th of April to, like, submit this proof, which will be horseshit, whatever it is. And then
it's just going to be literally just a note that says, bro, trust me.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I don't understand how these judges will look at this and be like, seems good, seems legit.
Yeah, I gotta trust him. He did call me bro.
Exactly. And then in theory, they will give a ruling on the 20th of May or a later date, which means, what does that mean? If they accept his extradition appeal, I believe he can go to trial in the UK or something like that. So he won't be extradited.
Yeah.
And obviously if they deny it, he can be extradited second after it's announced.
Yeah, because they also pointed to the fact, I think, I mean, the extradition to the United States particularly. Allegedly it is against the constitution of the UK to extradite someone to a country that has the possibility of the death penalty, that they have the death penalty.
Yeah.
So,
and it's also like the U.S. is saying that the First Amendment, which is free speech, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't apply to him because he's Australian. So, like, they're saying that they will charge him with the worst things that they can charge him with without thinking about the free speech because it doesn't apply to him because he's Australian.
I mean, that's a confusing one because where's the crime being committed that they're saying? It doesn't matter, like, if it's
in the internet.
Yeah. That's like the First Amendment just applies to people who are in the United States. Like, if you're putting him on trial in the United States, you're putting him on trial for laws in the United States, then it would probably go by then that of the laws of the United States, which are defined by the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
Legally then giving Julian Assange being tried as someone in the United States, the same rights as anyone else being tried in the United
That's
States.
That's the thing.
Unless he's being tried under like military tribunal, which I don't think would be happening. Or if he's being tried not in the United States, like if they did like a secret trial in like a like CIA black site or something like that. Yeah.
No, so in theory, they would be like the trial and everything would be in the US. So they should be like U.S. laws should apply to, or
yeah, that's exactly. That's like a big
should apply to him because the crime was, quote unquote, was committed in the internet. You know, like the, he simply uploaded all the things that Chelsea Manning gave him onto WikiLeaks.
Yeah,
and also like if Chelsea Manning has been pardoned, why? Like it's so ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, but like that's also like to that point as well too. That was like a big reason why the United States established like Guantanamo and shit like was because they one had the fear of if they do bring any of these terrorists back to the United States from their operation that they know that they're going to be doing in you know the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
If once they reach American soil, then they then become prisoners. Like they become under the
they
legal
have rights
yeah they
theory.
Become under the legal jurisdiction of someone in the United States, regardless of them being an American citizen or not. And the like, you know, the Patriot Act can do did a lot to like, you know, remove a lot of things of mm-hmm. you know like from you know like personal freedoms and whatnot, but still like theoretically there was like that legal problem that then just like, you know, you can't, for example, you can't torture someone in an American prison.
Yeah.
You know, that's technically illegal. So they like, yeah, they have this, they had in that regard this entire framework for how to like deal with that of like, okay, well, we just have a gray area legally. And now Assange kind of provides a very interesting one because, yes, like the crime of the internet is like another one where then the United States could possibly then figure out a way to also then create like a legal gray area for this bullshit to then put Assange on trial in a much different way,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the United States is very good at redefining, you know, what it does and what it doesn't have jurisdiction over or what mm-hmm. it has special jurisdiction over.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from the fact that I think that the Assange thing is just like an insane, the fact of it being criminalized the way that it is, of course, has been an issue for,
years,
oh yeah, for
years.
A decade now, yeah, if at yeah. least. It would be incredibly frightening to see what happens. When, and the thing that I'm afraid of is that I'm afraid that the UK is going to buy the US's bullshit, you know? As long as, like, especially, too, that then, like, Biden's in power. Because I think if it was, like, under Trump, it'd be, like, a little bit different because there's, like, all this, like, stupid apprehensive bullshit that Europe still has towards, like, oh, you know, we can't give into, you know.
Into Trump.
Into Trump. But, like, the reality of it is that the situation would be horrible for Assange under either president.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And under Democrats, they're, like, way more, like, easy to give into, like, bullshit demands, yeah. it feels like. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really not like, I don't know. I hope it works, but it's also just like, it's incredibly like frightening to imagine what could then happen if he does end up in the US.
I mean, literally anything could happen. And he already survived an assassination attempt, apparently. So it's just, yeah, I am really, really curious to see what the these two senior judges who should, you know better will say to the US's reassurances or whatever. And I really hope that they also publish those reassurances because I would love to see what shit, like what bullshit yeah. they tried to sell as well. But it as you said, it is really frightening because it's true, like Europeans think that Biden is not as bad, so that, you know, if his government is giving us these reassurances, then it's okay because Biden
yeah,
is not so
exactly,
bad
yeah.
and Biden is not Trump. But at the end of the day, the U.S. government is the U.S. government and
they're going to behave like
ways.
The U.S. government does, which is in the most brutal, frightening way that you can
exactly.
possibly imagine, especially
yeah, yeah.
for these types of crimes that the U.S. government sees as things like espionage and terrorism and shit like that. You know, a country that then literally, as I mentioned earlier, tried to create an entire legal framework where then the laws did not apply anymore. So this country is going to be really cool and fair about exposing the fact that the United States has been living extrajudicially, I don't fucking know the word, above the law.
You said it right the second time.
Extrajudicially. Yes, that's it.
There you go.
I guess we'll have to give an update then in at least the latest May 20th, you said?
Yes, May 20th.
Yeah, okay. That's a month away.
Yeah, it's still a while to go. They still have to send those bullshit reassurances. So, yeah, we shall see. Hopefully they do say something on the 20th, and I don't know.
So now in more sad news.
Yeah, worse
You know, news. Hitting you with that double whammy is that we have to talk about the world. How do we frame this right now? Because I think it's very clear that then from the nature of the attack, Israel like targeted the World Central Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Employee, like the volunteers or employees or whatever they were, very systematically, like mm-hmm. very clear, like targeted airstrikes.
Yeah,
you can very clearly see also from probably the air, the like marked vehicles. They mentioned also too that the vehicles were very clearly marked and that the Israeli government was aware of their movements and presence and whatnot. They were working in conjunction with the IDF. So to say that then it is an accident, I think we can just like call that bullshit. I think it is.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So, but the interesting thing, I mean, I think if you have not heard by now, because it's been, I think, everywhere,
mm-hmm.
that seven volunteers from the NGO World Central Kitchen were, like I said, targeted by an Israeli airstrike. And everyone is kind of asking why, because it's not very clear, but it is very just clear that they were like singled out. They were hit one by one in their cars.
Yes. So there were three British from the UK,
mm-hmm.
one Australian or New Zealander.
Yeah.
One from Poland and the driver who was Palestinian and a dual citizen of the US and Canada.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that was missing.
Yeah. So in all that, sheer carelessness, not even carelessness because it's Israel knows what it's doing, but just the sheer just, I don't know, just disgusting actions of what Israel then now is doing to I guess anyone that then is like, again, I still do not understand how, why or whatever. People or why these people were targeted. A lot of people are like speculating to say that it's to like distract from the absolute horrors and destruction from Al-Shifa, which would not surprise me because Israel pulled out of that operation and left behind some of the most like horrific stuff I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Yeah.
So, you know, but weirdly also- enough, this war crime seems more feasible to, you know, stomach than the other one somehow. I don't know, speculate all you want. Anyway, Europe is now upset and sad after all this because a few Europeans have been killed, and in all the tragedy, you know, Corner Spatie can still, you know, provide some, you know, interesting insight in all this because, nations are stupid and run by idiots who all have insane politics. Two of these countries being, of course, Israel and Poland.
Yep.
And you would assume that then each one of these countries would react in a, you know, adult manner of, you know, hey, we just fucking killed one of your citizens in a targeted airstrike. Oopsie.
No.
Well,
that's basically what Netanyahu, like the video that he posted right after it came out, he's smirking. Like, he's just straight up grinning. And he's like, it was a mistake. Oopsie. Well, we'll look into it. And then literally I saw that Netanyahu grinning was trending on Twitter because everyone was like, what the fuck? Even people that were...
Yeah, it's like when Vladimir Putin's
not
like,
really pro-Palestine were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, it's like the thing of like when Vladimir Putin's like, oh, we're going to like, you know, I'm going to single-handedly take over the investigation of my political opponent who just killed himself,
yeah.
You know?
It's exactly.
Like, how and why did he spring out of this, you know, 14-story window? We'll never know. We'll never know how or why.
This investigation, quote unquote, that he promised, it's been over in a day, which, okay. And the findings came out today, April 5th. And it's literally just like, oopsies, it was a mistake. We couldn't see the fact that the cars were marked because it was dark. As if the most advanced fucking army in the world doesn't have night vision in their drones. But sure, whatever. And they said that they thought that there was a gunman in the car. So they thought there was a gunman in three cars at the same time. Which is like, they literally dropped... like one bomb in one car. When they scrambled to another car, they bombed that one. And when they scrambled to the other car, they bombed that one.
Yeah.
Like, and you couldn't see with your fucking high-tech drone that not one of those people had a weapon with them? Like,
no, it was dark. It was night.
It was dark. And obviously, the only repercussions, quote-unquote, is that two senior officers, like a colonel and a major, have been sacked. What does that mean? Nothing, because they're probably going to get some nice pension or whatever anyway. And then, like, some of officers have been reprimanded, which also means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, and still, like, not even, like, a proper formal apology.
Yeah, well, speaking of a country that wants an apology, like I mentioned, of Poland and... and Israel going at it. I was aware of the country that we're going to be talking about later, Spain. But when you sent me this, I was flabbergasted because I was expecting something way different. And instead, it was just like my two dads fighting, it seems like. Because Israel has been very mad at Poland for a legitimate reason. Like, let's be fair. They've had pretty bad relations with Poland since 2021 because they had claimed... for the longest time, and they're not actually entirely incorrect about this, that Poland has been doing a lot of Holocaust revisionism, saying that Poland did not collaborate during, you know, the Nazi reign of you know, during the Nazi occupation, and that Poland was you know, completely in resistance, this and that, which is like obviously complete bullshit. And so Poland has had this entire, they've had this like entire program from not just PIS, but just, I think, the general, like, now greater sense of just like Polish general, like, liberalism and whatnot, of really kind of whitewashing the reality of what that, you know, Poland's role in, you know, like the role of Polish collaboration in the Holocaust, and particularly also... like they exaggerate a lot of the numbers. They're like, oh yeah, like, you know, they'll be like 98% of like whatever. They'll like make up a statistic that then makes it seem like that all these people that were killed in, it was like 98% of Polish Jews were killed in Poland, which is like true or whatever. But then it's like, when you look at the population of all of Poland, it's like a really small percentage of the population.
Yeah.
And so Poland tries to do this thing where it's like, we were targeted by the Nazis.
No.
You know, just like, you know, trying to like replace that, that the Holocaust affected the Jews far more than it affected the Poles.
Mm-hmm.
And that they like skew all these statistics and whatnot. And they're very adamant about doing this, about trying to like really like remove the blame from themselves. But then they also are very selective that then when Jews are included in their statistics and then when they aren't. So they're also very like, you know, I mean, you can call it what it is if you want. You know, I mean, like, you can call it what you want. If you want, if you say it's, what if you want to say it's anti-Semitic or not, sure, fine. That's up to you. You can be the judge on that. But
I mean, Israel, at the very least, it's just revisionism. It's just
very, it's just historical revisionism. True. It's historical revisionism at the very least. Yeah, so Israel just has claimed that then that whenever another country gets mad at them, they can just kind of like pull something out of their ass and be like, oh, you can't be mad at us because of this other thing.
Mm-hmm. So basically the Israeli ambassador to Poland, after it came out that a Polish citizen had been killed in the World Kitchen, a Central Kitchen like attack, he tweeted, and that's a thing also, like, tweet, like, how ridiculous can you be? But he tweeted that, basically, that it wasn't a big of a deal, and that, you know, Poland just wants Israel to apologize because Poland is anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And anti-Semitism will always be anti-Semitist, and, you know, they have nothing to apologize for. Which is an insane statement. Even if it's true that anti-Semitism is normal in Poland, like a Polish citizen just got killed, and you're like, I don't give a fuck.
You guys, you know, hey, you guys, he could have been an anti-Semite. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
well, frankly, yeah, you know, we're just trying to make sure. I don't know. It's really ridiculous because like. This has now then caused like Poland to respond and just be like, just, you know, quite threaten their relations with Israel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're like, if you don't apologize, at least apologize, we'll just cut relations with Israel. Which, I mean, it's not like they need much of an excuse to do that anyway.
Yeah, it's like don't tell a country that with a case of, you know, genuine, you know, with the historical problem of anti-Semitism, you know, don't tease them with a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they would cut, like, you know, Poland and Hungary would cut, no, Hungary would never now, because it's like they view Israel as like the first outpost of Christendom. But like, these are countries that would break relations with Israel for like legitimately being anti-Semitic, like just for bad reasons. Yeah, like, oh yeah, you're saying that we're anti-Semitic. Yeah, we're not going to apologize. By the way, like, I'm mad at you and I'm going to, like, you know, strain relations with them.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I really do always appreciate when Poland does do one of these weird things of like, oh, like, you're kind of weirdly being right. But in the stupidest, I can't support it because it's in the dumbest, wrongest way possible.
Yeah, you know,
it's like whenever Poland asks for, I feel that we've talked about this so many times before, when like Poland asks for reparations from Germany.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, like you should, but why are you asking for them? Like,
yeah, yeah. But what,
like,
did you do?
What did you, yeah, it's like, you're really like, you're being a little bit ridiculous, but you know what? Also good for you that you're being a dick to Germany, because everyone should. Like, should it, like, I don't know, like, Poland has a very interesting, weird relationship with Germany. It's like, I get it, I understand it, but then you like look into the, like, the parties and the people who are then asking this, like, oh, you are all insane.
Yeah,
like, you are all freaks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love how on brand this is for
they're just pointing fingers at each other. But in general, like, the reactions of, as well, the UK, for example, or Canada, whatever, they've been just so lukewarm as well.
Yeah,
just
of course. Like, what are you going to expect?
Yeah, that sucks. Israel, what the fuck? But, like, keep doing you, you know? Like, David Cameron and fucking Rishi Sunak were just like, yeah, this was horrible. We want an investigation, but, like, obviously no calls for ceasefire, not condemning Israel in any way. I think actually Biden came out today and was like, did ask for a ceasefire.
Yeah.
But like in a very much, in a very Biden way, like, you can't keep doing what you're doing. Come on. You
come
know?
On, man.
Exactly.
Listen here, Jack. You just can't keep killing people.
Yeah. I actually don't know what Sanchez said. No, because no Spanish person was killed, but Jose Andres.
No, but the organization. Spain did give a response because the organization is headed by some Spanish like celebrity chef or whatever. Yeah. I don't know the name of
Jose Andres.
Oh, see, thank you. Glad that you're from this, you know, part of this region of the world. I'm not going to say which country, but
thanks.
But yeah, so they he gave a very clear statement where he said that then Israel assassinated like employees from the from his NGO that he started.
Yeah.
He was very clear in that.
Yeah.
And then Spain kind of on the back of it, I think then like the foreign minister gave like kind of a pretty, you know, whatever, just like a you know, finger wag thing of a response. But the thing that then Spain's been doing is that, you know, because they've been, you know, quite, I mean, of the European countries, particularly like the larger ones, they've been probably having some of the better responses, like stopping weapon shipments to Israel. They did quite early, if I'm not mistaken.
See, like, that's
Oh, it's all talk and
tricky. Yeah, so it's okay, a tricky topic because, you know, surface level, all the headlines, Spain looks great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Sanchez, like his investment speech, he did mention Palestine and he said that he wanted Europe and the world to recognize Palestine as a state. You know, like they look great, but then, like, as you put in the notes as well, they do say that they will recognize Palestine, Palestinian statehood from July of this year.
Which is just like a very like weird, like, I don't know. It seems like it's just like a legal specificity rather than like anything more than that. Like it's like, it's UN statehood.
Yeah.
Like, so that then they would vote.
It's just like, cool, Palestinians.
Palestine, like, has a, yeah.
Exists. Cool.
I mean, there's other countries that also recognize Palestinian statehood. And
yeah.
Unless it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, it could definitely, like, you know, trigger something. I'm not going to say that it isn't, but it's like, it is kind of like, you're right. Like, it is, it just kind of feels like this thing. Like, Pedro Sanchez is definitely like the poster boy of just like, like, even when we were talking about the Eurovision thing, you know, where he was like, see, feminism can be fun or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, he's just like, he just kind of does and says what everyone's like.
He's
just
superficially leftist or like pro whatever is cool in that moment.
Yeah, pro
basically.
Vibes.
Pro vibes, exactly. But what you were saying about the weapon shipment, so they actually, they sent weapons to Israel as like back in December.
Oh wow, those big liars.
Yeah. So basically they say their excuse is that they had a contract or a, what's it called? Like a license to send them weapons that was signed way before October 7th and that it was like a 6 month thing or whatever. However, these licenses, if it's a weapons like license, they can be revoked at any moment, especially if the country is doing genocide with these weapons. Like, if they wanted to, they could have broken that contract or license or whatever at any moment after October 7th. But no, they did two shipments after, in November and in December. And it was obviously pretty good money.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I, of course, there was, like, you know, a bullshit, not real excuse to why magically, like, oh, the paperwork slipped through or whatever. Like,
Like, come on. You know, it's, I know it's a stereotype, but Spain is not that bad with paperwork. Yeah.
I mean, come on. This isn't Germany. Like a country that then is legitimately too over. Like, if it was Germany, it'd be like, oh, well, we forgot to, like, fill in the proper like Anmeldungsformula you know, to do the, you know, process the paperwork to not
to stop send, genocide.
To stop genocide. Yeah. Did you did you put in your stop genocide Antrag in the proper Amt?
So. And I also don't know how I feel about Jose Andres, the NGO, the head of the NGO.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Because he yeah, he immediately came out and was like, we were specifically targeted. The cars were marked. They had our coordinates. They knew that it was us, and they killed my people, which is great. But also, he hasn't really called for ceasefire. And then his hypocrisy, because now he speaks up when his people have been, targeted and murdered. However, right after the October 7th attack, Ione Belarra, who at that time was the Ministry of Social Affairs, she is a massive pro-Palestine voice, one of the first MPs like in the world to side, quote unquote, with Palestine right after the attack. And she was very openly pro-Palestine. And she tweeted, that was when Israel was like, we're going to cut the water, electricity, and well, basically everything to Gaza right after the attack. So she tweeted that that was a war crime, that you couldn't do that to a whole population of like how many millions, da 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 da. And he, Jose Andres, answered basically calling her a terrorist sympathizer and saying that Israel has the right to defend itself.
Yeah, that was the thing, is that then the contract was done by the Israeli government with his NGO. I don't think that he's like,
yeah,
the...
But that was, I mean, I think they only started really operating there recently. And that was right after the attack, like October 9th or 10th. Like, yeah, Yone Belarra was already signing.
Oh, no, but I'm just, yeah, but I'm just, like, saying in the fact that then it's, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm always, like, I mean, fine in the sense of it then, like, he's going to, like, be all pissy about it now. But I really, like, I don't know. I feel, like, always a hint of skepticism with anyone who just, like, immediately after October 7th was, like, just like not like, oh yeah, like this is insane. Like, because Israel just went immediately into the most insane violence.
That's the thing,
imaginable.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know,
it's not like they gradually.
It's not
you know.
Like it. I mean, it got worse, but the amount of bombardment, it's been constant. Like,
yeah.
Israel started attacking hospitals and shit like that at the beginning.
Yeah,
and the fact that it's so weird about it now is that then it's like, well, now we're not like even questioning it anymore. Like, Israel's just like admitting that it's doing
it.
Yeah,
remember
now.
When everyone was like,
oh
my God.
How did Israel, you know,
it couldn't be them. And all the proof was like, it was them. And they were still like, no, but they would never. And now, as you said, like earlier, they destroyed Al-Shaifa.
Yeah.
It was like they murdered many, 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 many.
And the question about that. Yeah. No, and especially.
And it's
like,
yeah, that happened.
Yeah, exactly. The same hospital when then, like, you know what, however many months ago that was, that they hit it with an explosive so big that it killed all those people because the shock wave was so big.
Yeah.
Not because that the explosion was particularly large. Yeah, that same hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, if he has had like a change of heart, then whatever, fine. But kind of shitty that it comes in the sense of where it's like, oh, well, this happened to me. Now it's personal. It's like
that's exactly how I feel. Yeah. I mean, it's always it is kind of bittersweet because it's sure it's always great when people with his actual influence and power speak up against Israel in this way and say and call out Israel's actions. But as many people are, well, but it's that's the thing. Like, he only speaks up when his people are murdered. But also, like, it's fucked up that, you know, hundreds of Palestinians are dying every day, and now everyone's just focused on these seven people, which obviously, who didn't deserve to die, obviously, at all. But it's just so...
Yeah,
it's so fucked up that not like that they are getting all the attention, but also not enough. Like, it's still their countries of origin are still not saying really anything, not like cutting ties with Israel or their diplomacy, not kicking out the the ambassadors and anything. It's just like what.
Yeah, I mean, it really is the exposure of just how dire all this shit is. I don't know. It's always like just the unfortunate reminder of, you think it's getting shitty. JK, it's somehow magically going to continue and get shittier. But
yeah,
I don't want to dwell on that. I want to dwell on happy things. And happy things include Eurovision, that thing that we are boycotting,
yes,
but yet we are still apparently doing a show for. So,
but it's our own.
It's our own.
It's Eurovision.
Yes.
It's not Eurovision.
It's Gyrovision, according to Kieran, even though I will call it the proper name, which is still would be still Eurovision. And so it is the 11th of May. Catch us in Neukölln. It'll be starting at 8 p.m. There's still, I believe, a few tickets left.
Mm-hmm.
And it is at Landstrasse 25, if you need to know the exact address. But all the details will be below. And we will give you the link for tickets as well. They are 20 euros. All the money will be going to Medical Aid Palestine. And as well, the drinks will be going for Medical Aid Palestine as well. So,
and any Twitch, it will also be live on Twitch.
It will also
you
be
can
live on
watch
Twitch.
This
Thank
from
you.
There. And all the Twitch donations will also go to Medical Aid Palestine, or you can just straight up donate to Medical Aid Palestine.
Yes. So we will have all the details available in the description below.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you can make it, because I will be planning quite the spectacle. Josie and I were talking about doing a whole duet of your favorite songs from Eurovision.
Hell yeah.
And taking you through the ages of Eurovision, you know, just, you know, with the stars.
Such a journey.
Me
yeah.
and Josie Parkinson. And we'll be dressed in our finest gowns, and it'll be a sight to see. It'll be a beautiful show.
I'm actually so excited to see what Kieran, because
I am
what
excited
happens,
to see
what happens
Kieran's
with these things
do.
Is that just Kieran goes batshit crazy with whatever, with like slides. And then we don't see anything until the day of the live show. And then we're all just, you know.
I ask Kieran to help all the time, and he says no.
No, he loves
it. Yeah,
he
loves it.
He loves the mystery and everything. He loves keeping us on our toes. So I'm very excited to do that. And if you come, you're actually going to be also the judges of our Eurovision. We're going to literally do our own Eurovision.
Oh,
so we're
are.
All going to Yeah, we're all going to like vote and stuff, and
okay,
I don't know
cool.
what else Kieran has prepared, but
I suggested I don't know if I suggested to Kieran or if I suggested to my mom, but
same
I was
thing.
Also very well no, because I was very excited about the whole thing, and so I was telling someone about it. About then I thought it would be fun if then, because the audience is about 40 people who can make it inside the thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
If that every person then gets a country, and then they then get the vote of that country.
They just walk on stage and like,
yeah.
12 points for whatever.
Yeah, no, because it's not that many people.
Portugal and gives 12 points to Spain.
Yeah, sure. They can do whatever they want. I don't care. They can just be like, I mean,
that'd be fun.
We could just do like top three then or something, and then do a pool based on that. I think it would be cute.
Because
then
shall
every
see
person can then
has.
Pretend to be that. Like, I mean, you know, feel bad for the person who gets like Malta or something. But yeah, I don't know. If Kieran's listening to this, that's my suggestion, because that could very well be a possibility. But anyway, yeah, we will then catch you next week for the later in the week for the bonus episode.
Mm-hmm.
And or next week for the main feed or for the main episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.